We've been talking last week. We started this series, our teaching series this month, and we're looking at who Jesus is. And if you're new here in church, don't worry, this is not like a part two. You missed out last week. You got to do catch up before you can come to this class. It's okay. You're welcome to go at any time. Check out all of our messages on YouTube. But if you're new, it's okay. You can just relax, enjoy this service. There's not going to be a test at the end or anything like that. If we haven't met, my name's Beck. And it's just my joy this morning to open the Word of God together, really. So I'm not standing here today as a peace guru. Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about peace. In fact, like you, I woke up very normally this morning. One of my kids decided that it was a good time for a meltdown, and we just made it on time. So shout out to all the parents who managed to get themselves to church this morning, and everyone's almost in one piece. And, you know, it's okay. You're allowed to smile in spite of whatever has been going on. But we're just real people. But we believe in a real God who doesn't say, hey, pretend your way to heaven. He doesn't say, hey, I'll show you a pathway to peace. If you can just try really hard, you might get there. Or in fact, you might get there in the next life if you're really good in this life. We actually serve a God who was interruptible by cute little kids with cars. No, they didn't have cars back then, but you know, that's okay. But you know what? He didn't just say, here's a pathway. Try it out. See if you get there. You're on your own. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'm not going to show you peace. I'm going to be peace. He wasn't just a signpost on a pathway. He said, I'm going to be your peace. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the claims that Jesus makes about peace. I really don't want to teach you some facts or give you some information this morning, because that's not going to change anything. The only way that you and I are going to be transformed in a year of transformation is to allow the one, the only one who ever claimed to be peace, to do a work on the inside of you and I. I don't know about you, but I've tried changing the outside. I've tried, probably this week a few times, controlling circumstances. How many of you know that just doesn't work? You just get more frustrated, right? Let's be honest this morning. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister supernatural peace to you today. We prayed before this service that the peace of God would be in this room. We prayed for you joining us online today that the peace of God would not just be a reality here, but wherever you are, the Holy Spirit would minister peace this morning. And I've been praying and believing that for you, upon your homes, upon your minds. Some of you might say, I just don't know how to find peace for my mind. This morning, I'm not going to give you a 10-step plan, but I am going to share with you what Scripture says about the man Jesus, who claimed to be our peace. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can open it. If you have a phone, there's a Bible app. It's called YouVersion. We say the Bible app and people are like, which one? It's called YouVersion. You can look it up. It's free. They're not going to like try and get you to send them money. You can just download it. And then all the scriptures that come up on the screen or on your screen at home, you can look them up and follow along. You can even highlight them. I'm a mad keen highlighter on the Bible app. And then you can look it up later. When you're like, oh, what was that scripture that the preacher said? It'll be there for you when you go home, which I pray you do. I got lots of scriptures for you today because, as I said, this is not really my thoughts. I want us to look at what Jesus says about himself. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Thank Jesus for that. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to you who were near. You see, peace is a person. Peace is not a plan. Peace is not a strategy. Peace is not a result of finally getting all of those pesky ducks in a row, one of whom is definitely a squirrel. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. And you and I go on these moments of understanding and trying to realize and trying to reconcile the world in which we live, the circumstances in which you and I find ourselves, and a person called Jesus who said, he himself is our peace. You see, the truth is, our world is a world completely without peace. Globally, we lack peace. I read this week on a news report that there are currently 111 conflicts going on in the world. And they're like global conflicts. I mean, some of you have got 111 conflicts going on in your own house, and I understand that. And we're going to pray at the end of this service. But generationally, we are now labeled the anxious generation. That shows you how much peace is just not here in our world. It's non-existent. Families and individuals, we're constantly pursuing peace, and yet we never seem to be able to find it. There are only a few of us who would use the word peaceful to describe our life or our current disposition. Now, feel free to heckle if I'm wrong. Yes, I just invited that. In a message about peace, I know. Did anybody come in this building this morning, any of you joining us online, and you turned to someone and said, how was your week? Did anyone in this building say, peaceful? No. Anyone checking your kids into kids' church this morning? How was your morning? Oh, it was just so peaceful, honestly. I mean, just like a still lake. Someone just bought me the best coffee I'd ever have. Shout out to all the people that lined up for coffee and didn't get it this morning. But I guarantee not one of us went, you know what, this week was just such a peaceful week. Just overwhelmingly peaceful. You know what? Everything went right. There was nothing that felt like it was out of control. All my finances are perfectly in order. My health is just stellar, wonderful, couldn't be better. My sleep, let me tell you about how peaceful my sleep is. There's a few nervous laughs. And yet Scripture promises us peace. My question to you is, what am I doing wrong? It's okay to ask this of Scripture, you know. It's okay to explore. It's okay to dig deeper. It's okay just to not have this surface level relationship with Jesus where we pretend that we understand, we pretend we have this knowledge, we pretend that our experience matches up perfectly with Scripture. It's okay. You and I are human. We're following Jesus. But we're following him imperfectly. And so this morning, the last thing I want is for you to feel condemned. The last thing I want is for people in this room, people joining us online this morning, to think, oh, I've got this wrong. She's talking about peace and that's not my experience, so I must be doing it incorrectly. I need a better way. Matthew 11:28 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. These are the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Three words in there, he says, learn from me. That implies that we don't know this without him. That implies that each one of us calling ourselves disciples of Jesus need to learn to be discipled by the one who said he was peace. The one who said, come to me. Don't look around outside you. You won't find it there. Don't look to a strategy or a plan. You won't find it there. You want to find rest for your souls? You want to find true peace? Come to me. Come to me. I preached a few weeks ago about asking, and that message has stayed with me as I've begun to prepare this one and realized, how often do I just flat ask Jesus to be my peace? I try everything else, but how often do I just say, Jesus, I need you to be my peace today. In this circumstance, right here and right now, can you teach me? Can I learn from you? I'm gentle and humble in heart. He's not bringing condemnation to you this morning. He's not saying, yeah, you really should get better at this. He's saying, no, I'm gentle and humble in heart, but if you come to me, if you learn from me, I will give you rest. Friends, it's a gift to receive the rest of God. It's a gift. It is a gift to receive the rest from Jesus. So I've asked myself this question. Have I enrolled in the school of peace? If he's the teacher and says, come to me and I will teach you, learn from me. Have I put in my enrollment form? Or have I just read that brochure? Have I come to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, I need to learn. Can I enroll? Can I sign up for this? I really want you to teach me peace. I really want you to show me the way. Because in response to the previous question, to which we all answered, not peaceful, if I reflect back on the week past, most of us honestly, if we were unfiltered, would say that the last 7 days have been crazy, busy, challenging, hectic, perhaps overwhelming, tiring, exhausting. And these are just the ones that we're politely willing to admit in company, right? We're okay with saying those words. Some of us, to be truthful, it's more chaotic, anxious, messy, or just awful. And we've enrolled ourselves in learning those paths for a long time. Just like we were talking about on the Hope Ventures video, many of us were enrolled in the school of fear or worry or anxiety or doubt from the time we were just tiny little kids. And maybe we didn't even sign up for that enrollment, but that's just the school we grew up in. Well, we were taught the way of fear. We were taught the way of worry. We were taught the way of anxiety, and just a messy and chaotic mind was the only way to live. And that spills out into our relationships. It certainly spills out across all of our society. The anxious generation is not a label to be proud of. But friends, we can see very easily that these paths are well worn in most of our lives. And I'm not saying this morning, you just fix that. You just get better at that. You just try harder at that. But I think many of us would say we've been looking for peace in all the wrong places. We're on the path called worry. We're on the path called fear. And we try and take exits all we can. But sometimes those exits just lead to different paths that don't lead to peace. And the truth is that just like Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, hey, come to me, many of us haven't found the signpost saying peace this way until we meet a guy called Jesus who says, I'm going to show you something totally different, totally upside down, totally unnatural, totally mind-blowingly unheard of to the way that everybody else in your world will live. It's very countercultural. to be a peaceful person. Some say weird. Truthfully, if we have been labeled the anxious generation, to be a peaceful person or a person of peace is weird. You know, when people say things in our culture like, I don't do that, and you get that look like, okay, sure. For us to be people of peace is to be completely counter to the culture in which we find ourselves. And most of us have tried to find different ways to peace, with Jesus, without Jesus. We've purchased books, oils, vitamins, pillows, potions, therapy, retreats, and paid a big bill at the end of it, which in turn, ironically, doesn't leave us very peaceful. And yet we read in Scripture, and we've actually been singing songs about this morning, that we're still in the middle of a storm. We still find ourselves with another group of disciples going, I thought we were supposed to be on a peaceful journey, and it seems like a storm has come. It seems like a storm has arisen. And you know, you kind of give that nervous look left and right, like, does it feel like a storm to you? Did you see that lightning? Is it just me, or is there thunder? Is this boat kind of not stable? Is that just me? Am I the only one seasick? Like, it's some sort of admission to be in a storm is to lack faith. To be in a storm is to, in fact, not be a good enough Christian. To be in a storm is, in fact, definitely not the way of Jesus. In Hebrews 4, the writer exhorts us to enter the rest. No, to strive to enter the rest of God. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to find peace. There's nothing wrong with trying to find the rest that we've been promised in Scripture. 1 Peter 3, verse 11 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We're meant to seek peace. We're meant to pursue it. Pursuing something is not an inactive state. It's not like just sit there and wait for it to fall on top of you. Not come down on the altar call and everything will magically be better. Pursuing peace is an active. It requires energy. It requires focus. It requires you and I to say, I want this. This is something I care about. This is something that's important to me. To pursue something is to go after it, to strain, to strive. Galatians 5:22 tells me that the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and on. If I have the Spirit in my life, I'm supposed to be bearing fruit. In John 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, there's a thief and he's out there. And his intention is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he says, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, there's an enemy out there who does not want you to seek or pursue peace at all. In fact, his intention for you and for me is that we would have our peace stolen and destroyed. That you won't find peace. You pursue it your whole life, but you won't find peace. You know why? Because Jesus is peace. And so he wants you to chase your own tail. He wants you to live in the culture that you find yourself in and let the storm overwhelm you. But we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is that we would have peace born out of our lives. If I'm at the base of an almond tree, I can look for oranges all I want. I'll only find nuts. It's true in our lives. Sometimes we filled up our lives with all this stuff that's supposed to bring us peace, and then it doesn't bear any peaceful fruit in our lives, and we're like, ah, what? You just got lots of almonds. and they're stuck in your teeth all day. Can I just say something before I continue? You might need a coach. That's okay. Can we just be real and human for a second? You might need a coach. You know when you get baptized, a few weeks ago we had water baptisms? You don't get biceps when you get baptized. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be awesome, right? Like, how good? Yeah, we start a new life. We got to grow muscle. You might need a coach. When it comes to mental muscle, when it comes to emotional muscle, you might need someone to help you. If you're suffering with anxiety or depression or any mental health challenge, can I just set you free for a second? It's okay to get help. I've been given this body by God. It's my job to take care of it. Sometimes I need help. Sometimes a doctor. Sometimes someone who just says, no, pick up that weight. Come on, don't be slack. Well, it's quiet in this Baptist church today. Hey, there's no shame in getting help, okay? There is no shame in getting help. My husband, who was here playing guitar earlier, about 5 weeks ago, he had knee surgery and they hacked up his leg. He's got lots of help because he's got to get strong again. If you've got pain in the area of your peace, it's okay to get help. You've got to get strong again. Okay? All right. Hang on, Beck. If I have Jesus in my life, how come I still have fear or worry or doubt? You know what? I'm glad you asked. I know you didn't, but I'm glad you did. Because I asked that question, to be real for a second. Why can't we just get baptized in water and get biceps and get peace? Why can't I just get baptized in the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden I got all the fruit? Why am I just not automatically kind and peaceful and loving and long-suffering? Why not? That would be easy, right? John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And three times Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. See, my job is not to be the vine. My job is not even to make the fruit, friends. You know what my job is? Remain. Remaining is not a one-time event. Remaining is not on encounter weekend. Friends, remaining is not even in your devotional time. I'm sorry. It's not that like 15 minutes when you first wake up in the morning and all hell hasn't broken loose yet. Remaining is like remaining. Remaining. How does fruit come out of a tree? The branch stays on the tree. Oh, sorry, friends. Matthew 10 gives me a problem with this message, but I have to include it because it's in the scripture. So is Leviticus, but we're not going to go there today. Because we don't have time for that. Matthew 10:34 says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. What? Oh, Jesus, do you have to? This is in red again, folks. Hang on, you just said he's out. Oh, no. Here we go. The Bible contradicts itself. Here we go. Do not think. All those YouTubers, get it out. Come on, go. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Do not say amen. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Oh, friends, is it any wonder? You see, peace is not the absence of conflict. Jesus is trying to explain this to his disciples. He says in another passage, oh, you're going to have trouble. He says in another passage, they hate me. They're going to hate you. You're going to make no sense to anybody. You're going to be just so countercultural, it'll blow people's minds. Scripture tells us we're actually a people at war with the enemy. The enemy who wants to come and steal and kill and destroy our peace. We're at war. We're in a battle with him. So friends, how do you and I, in the midst of a wartime, in the midst of a war zone, how do we find peace? Philippians 4 verse 7 tells me this. And the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the problem is, friends, I really want to be able to understand it. You want to be able to understand the peace. You want to be able to figure out the peace. You want to be able to figure out your way there. You want to be able to figure out your way back. I want to be able to give you a 10-step program right here, right now. Your pathway to peace. I'm going to make you $99.99. It's all just give me your credit card details today and you will have peace for the rest of your life. And I will have peace because you will have all paid it. And for generations, we've had people just trying to sell us peace. But friends, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And I cannot stand here today and in all honesty explain to you how it works. It's not a peace that fits your understanding. It's a peace that in the middle of war, in the middle of battle, in the middle of storm, never changes, never alters, never leaves, never forsakes. We can only accept him who is our peace and invite him in the middle of the storm. There is no natural peace, friends. Jesus says that to his disciples. If you're looking for someone to overthrow the Romans and declare peace in the land, I ain't him. Because that's what they wanted. And that's what we want. Let's be honest. I want Jesus to just come down with a magic wand, take all my problems away, and make life sweet. Right? That's what we want. And he says, hang on, I'm here to give you a peace that passes your understanding in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of what is going on. I am that peace. And there's a story which we've been singing about today, Matthew chapter 8. And I don't have a plan for you this morning, but I do have some observations from this scripture which have been helping me. I want to share them with you. Now when he got into a boat, talking about Jesus, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea. They didn't check their weather app. But they were all fishermen. They knew when a storm was coming. So that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you fearful, or you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And so they marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Just a few observations, and then we're going to pray this morning, and I want the Holy Spirit to minister peace to you today. The supernatural peace that passes understanding, that you can't figure out how or why, but it's him. A few observations. He was the first one in the boat. Jesus was the first one in the boat. You're not doing it wrong. If you're anxious, if you're fearful, if you're worried, if you have doubt, you're not doing it wrong. You might be just following Jesus into a storm. That's okay. He was the first one in the boat. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. They followed him. Secondly, Jesus is never worried or hurried. Oh, man. I want him to be. Right? Can we be that honest about Jesus? I want him to be hurrying up sometimes. He isn't. He never is. He is peace in the middle of the storm. They were being obedient to him. The enemy wants to tell you it's bad karma. You got yourself there. You got to get yourself out. That's a lie. You might be following Jesus. You might be doing your best. And still find yourself in a storm. They cried out to him. Friends, I just can't shake this conviction that we need to get better at crying out to him. We need to get better in the middle of the storm at not just trying to fix up the storm so he doesn't notice and just control it and try and pull the sails a better way or put everyone up the other end of the boat or stand up or sit down or do all the things. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. He was peace to the storm. The last one is that they were magnifying him as he brought peace. You know, when we sing and worship, it's not to start the service. There is so much power when you and I choose to magnify Jesus. So much power. And it's one thing to cry out to him for help, but it's another thing to decide that whatever's going on in your world, you're still going to magnify the name of Jesus. You're still going to say, Jesus, you are the name above every name. Because you know what happens? When we magnify him, that automatically gives us the perspective that he is in control. And sometimes you've got to bypass your brain, if I can say that nicely, to do that. Because everything in you will say, I don't feel like that right now. You know, when you're going through a storm, the last thing you want to do is praise. Oh, you'll cry out for help sometimes when you get desperate enough. But you don't feel like praising and magnifying and exalting the name of Jesus and lifting him up. You know what? We have this great thing called worship music. Can I be so old-fashioned as to just encourage you? If you can't sing, put it on in your house. Just let something resonate in your life, something in your heart. Just allow that, the truth of the Word of God, the songs we've been singing this morning. If you don't know the names of the songs, you want to put them on your Spotify or whatever, ask someone. Go and find a person with a lanyard and say, that song, what was that song we're singing? Cornerstone. What was that song we're singing? Because of Christ. And you can take them home with you. And this isn't just a Sunday thing when we come together to worship. The power of magnifying Jesus will change your perspective. It will give you the freedom to see what's really going on. And it will invite him who is your peace right into the middle of your storm. The band's going to come and join me. And we're going to minister peace this morning. Maybe you're going through what is an enormous storm right now. Jesus is with you. He's in your boat. He's in your boat. Some of you need to hear this morning. It feels like he's asleep. That's the story. that's the story. I didn't write that. I don't even have an explanation for that for you, but he's in your boat. Okay? He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. You haven't gone on the wrong path. You're not doing it wrong. Peace is in your boat this morning. He is with you. He is for you. He has the power and authority to stand in that storm and rebuke the wind and the waves on your behalf. Let's acknowledge him. Let's magnify him. Some of you this morning have been struggling with anxiety, with fear, with worry, with doubt for years. It's become an ingrained pattern in your life. This morning, would you allow Jesus to minister peace to you? Would you allow him who is our peace to calm that storm today? Isaiah 26 verse 3, I've asked the team if they would leave this scripture up as we sing. Maybe you want to take a photo. Maybe you want to take it home with you. Maybe you want to do that highlighting thing so that you remember. This is a promise. A promise that I've held on to in many seasons of my life, and I pray that it will be with you as you go today. It says this, you will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. How do I have a steadfast mind? Trust. How do I find myself in perfect peace? Trust. How do you and I navigate the storms of our life with a peace that passes understanding? It is only by trusting in the one who said, I am peace. Jesus is peace this morning. He wants to be peace to your storm today. He wants to stand in the middle of your life and say to the wind and the waves, peace be still. I know there's people here this morning and you just need Jesus to do that for you. You need Jesus to stand up in the middle of your storm and say, peace be still. We're going to minister to you and declare that over you today. If you've joined us online, thank you so much. We're going to pray for you in this moment, declaring peace be still into the storms that you find yourself in, declaring peace be still over your mind and over your heart. Church, why don't you stand in this moment? We're going to pray. Prayer team, you can begin to come. But just in this moment, before we sing, I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? This whole time, this whole month, we're talking about who Jesus is, and maybe you find yourself here this morning and you say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know how to do any of the things you're talking about. I don't know scripture. I'm just here and I need Jesus this morning. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything scary. But in this moment, this morning, if you want to respond to Jesus, he's here. He wants to know you. He wants to be with you. He wants to lead you. And he wants to be your peace today. Just before we sing, while people around you have their eyes closed, if that's you today and you say, Beck, I need Jesus. I need him to come into my life, to be my peace, to lead me and to guide me. Include me in that prayer today. Why don't you just give me a wave? Nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, everything to be proud of, to say that you need Jesus this morning. I'm looking out for you, but you know what? God is looking for you this morning. If that's you, just give me a wave across this room. So good. We're going to pray all together. Why don't you place your hand on your heart if that was you this morning? Make this prayer your own, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the God who said you were peace. And I pray for these people this morning, Lord God, that they would have peace with you, peace for the future, peace in their heart, peace in their mind, peace in their soul, that, Lord, no matter what they're going through right now, they have begun to follow you. They've begun to walk with you. You said that you would bring them peace, life eternal, peace with God. And so, Jesus, we bless them today. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I pray your Holy Spirit be so real and so alive to them in this moment. In Jesus' name.